Hi, this is Pastor Alan Fleming of Throne of Grace Ministries, welcoming you once again to our website and thanking you for honoring us with your time in listening to and hearing this teaching titled, The Source of Faith. Of all our teachings, this is probably my favorite because it's so important. All of us as Christians must clearly understand what the source of faith is. We've been teaching a written series on what faith is and what it is not. We continued with how to employ faith. We broke faith down into its three components. Yes, faith is a three-component substance. According to Hebrews 11:1, faith is living one moment at a time in this present moment with joyful expectation of the things we cannot see. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we break that down, we find the three parts of the whole. A sum of a thing is the whole of its parts. And here are the three parts of faith. One is now, living in this present moment. With two, hope or joyful expectation. Of three, the things we cannot see. We know that it is urgent to understand what faith is because we're required to live by faith according to Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. Since we've been justified or found not guilty freely, not by our performance, totally independent of us, by His grace, God's willingness, ability, and power to do those things for us, which we cannot or will not do for ourselves through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24, we are required to live by faith. Therefore, it would be well for us to know where to get faith. What then is the source of faith? Understandably, there is much confusion about this subject, even within the body of Jesus. The reasons for the confusion are clear. We know who the author of confusion is, and it's not Jesus. The evil one is still confusing the elect the same way he has since the beginning when he convinced Eve, saying, "Surely he did not say." Same old deceit, new victims. The evil one, Satan, has been twisting scriptures since the beginning of time. He has confused many of us from the pulpit. He has confused many of us with ignorance. He has confused many of us by deceiving us into accepting cliches instead of thoroughly studying the Word. He has been clouding the issue of faith for years. He does not want us to understand faith. Satan had me misguided for years. I know the truth because I've continued in the Word, and God revealed it in His Word, and it has always been right in front of me. I want to share the truth that I have learned, which will at first anger some of you, as it did me, who have been taught some of the things that we'll discuss. However, it is the truth, so if you get angry, continue to listen. The evil one is powerless. He has been defeated in every way by Jesus. Jesus has given us dominion over all of the powers of the evil one. All he can do is use our confusion and ignorance to deceive us. Satan has two goals. His goals are to, one, devalue the blood of Jesus, and two, to take away our testimony, because with these two forces, he is defeated. We overcome the evil one by the shed blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. The evil one devalues the blood of Jesus by making us believe that Jesus' work on the cross and in his death, burial, and resurrection was incomplete in some way, and that we have to do something to improve it. If we believe that we can add anything to the work of Jesus, then his blood has no power in our lives. Many of us have been taught that even our faith is under a performance standard. We've been taught that our faith can be expanded, grown, or perfected. This teaching is based on the comments of Jesus regarding great faith, ever-increasing faith, little faith, and no faith. If there are varying degrees of faith, as described by our Lord then, it is assumed that we must somehow progress through each of these levels. However, this entire proposition is based on an incorrect understanding of the ministry of Jesus. At the time, Jesus was observing and commenting on these levels of faith. All men were operating in flesh faith. So indeed, they did have varying levels of faith. They did have no faith, little faith, ever-increasing faith, and great faith. And that is what Jesus commented on. However, our source of faith is Jesus. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, Paul, our teacher, appointed by God, explains that, "Wherefore, seeing that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith." There is no ambiguity here. Jesus is clearly the author and the finisher of our faith. He began it and he ended it. How did he do this? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we learn the truth from our teacher, the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul. "For it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul, our teacher, appointed by God, has made an unequivocal pronouncement guided by the Holy Spirit. Faith is a gift from God, and it is not of works, lest any man should boast. It was given as a free gift when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Believe Jesus. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the most misunderstood scripture in the Bible. We have all been taught from this one comment of Paul that faith comes by hearing and hearing. But listen to these scriptures again, and notice that Paul is writing about salvation, and that salvation brings with it the gift of faith. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on him. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, believe Jesus. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. This is, again, the most misunderstood scripture in the Bible. The result of being misunderstood is this. We've all been taught from this one teaching that faith comes by hearing and hearing. The result is that many of us have believed that we could increase our faith by hearing and hearing more teaching. We were led to believe that faith could be expanded or grown by saying or hearing more scripture. This is not what the teaching says or is about. Go back to the 9th verse and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in context through the 17th verse, and you will see that we have been mistaken. This whole teaching is a direct statement that faith comes from accepting Jesus and being saved. It is clear that Paul is teaching that it is necessary to send teachers to teach the plan of salvation because from salvation comes faith. The second half of the statement in the 17th verse says, "And hearing by the word of God." What Paul is saying is that the word of God in the person of Jesus and his teachings is where faith comes from, or the teachings of Jesus and understanding the teachings of Jesus are where faith comes from. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, understood that Jesus is the living Word. Romans 12:3, "Paul, our teacher, teaches us, saying, 'For I say unto you, through the grace given unto me, to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as,'" listen to this, "'God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.'" Romans 11:29, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance." Let's stop for just a minute and take a deep breath. Let's go back and examine again Paul's teaching to the people at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Grace is how God gave us faith. Grace is God's willingness, ability, and power to do those things for us that we cannot or will not do for ourselves. We've been taught that grace is unmerited favor. Well, that's like saying a Mercedes 12-cylinder 600 series convertible Mercedes is a car. What grace really is, again, is God's ability, willingness, and power to do those things for us that we cannot or will not do for ourselves. Think about this. What did you do to earn your salvation? Paul teaches us, saying that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The reason this is so important is because faith is how the just live. It's how we receive our healing. It's how we receive salvation. It's how we receive the guaranteed promises of Jesus, of our great inheritance. It is absolutely critical that we operate by faith. It is by faith that we enter into the state of grace that Jesus paid for with his blood that we should live in. We should live in a state of grace, which means that we're always perpetually walking in the things that God has done for us, and we're receiving those things by faith. So in order to receive by faith, it is absolutely urgent that we understand what faith is and the source of it. See, if we're reliant on ourselves to get more faith, then we can never achieve that level. We have once again placed ourselves under a performance-based relationship with God and set a standard for ourselves that cannot be achieved. Yet, we're taught this constantly. So-and-so is sick because they didn't have enough faith to believe for their healing. If you're sick, you need to go to so-and-so who has great faith. You can't go to somebody who's just been saved and ask them to pray for you because they don't have enough faith. You see, this is exactly what Paul was talking about when he said that faith is a free gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. People who believe that because they've been around the Word, because they've heard more Scripture, that they have more faith than a new believer are absolutely running contrary to the teachings of Paul. Faith is a free gift from God. We need to accept our free gift from God and stop trying to get more of it. Our challenge from Jesus is simply this: to use the faith that he gave us and paid for by his blood, to use the faith that we've been given so that we are continually operating in believing the unseen, making a choice to live one moment at a time, with joyful expectation of the things that we cannot see, that Jesus promised and has already delivered to us by his blood. If we will use the faith that we have been given, nothing will be impossible for us. Listen to this teaching from Jesus from Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says shall be done for him, he shall have whatsoever he says. See, Jesus is identifying the problem in our lives not as being a lack of faith. He's saying the problem in our lives is doubt in our heart, that we need to overcome that doubt in our heart by making a decision to live by faith. And then Jesus says an amazing thing. He makes us an amazing promise guaranteed by his blood. In the next verse, in Mark 11:24, Jesus teaches us saying, therefore I tell you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Faith is an awesome gift from Jesus, guaranteed by his blood. Our challenge from him and mine to you and mine to myself is to accept the free, wonderful gift of faith that Jesus gave us at the very moment that we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Make that decision right now in your heart and begin to believe Jesus, to walk independently of yourself, to choose to see the unseen and believe that it is more real than the things that you see. Understand that we have been taught by Paul that we fix our eyes not on the things that we see, but the things that we don't see, because of the things that we see are temporal and subject to change, but the things that we don't see are eternal. You know, here's an amazing thing. If you want to think about something eternal that will blow you away, think about this. Paul wrote in Hebrews 11, chapter 3, that it is by faith that we know that God created everything we see from nothing that is seen. Think about that for just a minute. How did Paul, who lived 2,000 years ago, know anything about atoms and molecules? How did he know that the things that we see are created by the things that we don't see? Our bodies are literally an assimilation of 300 trillion cells. We have come to know them as our body, but in fact, they are literally a combination of trillions of cells, each of which has a DNA strip within the nucleus of that cell, which could completely reproduce us. Even within the nucleus of one cell, everything about us is printed and stamped on that DNA strip. So Paul was absolutely correct when he said that God created the things that we see from the things that we don't see. Implicit in his teaching is the question, how can the creation be greater than the creator? How can the seen be more real than the unseen? So, my brothers and sisters, I challenge you to live one moment at a time with joyful expectation of the things that you can't see, understanding that Jesus has guaranteed his promises with his blood. This is Pastor Allen signing off.